Coming up on Golf Today, Trevor Immelman rounds out his international team with six picks for the President's Cup. We'll be joined by the captain in moments to ask him about the joy and pain of the process, and one of his picks will stop by as well. And the BMW PGA Championship will be the scene of some great golf this week, but also some potentially awkward moments as pro golfers on either side of the LIV Golf debate share the same space. A report from Wentworth is upcoming on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Won't keep you guys any longer. Here are the six names in no particular order. K.H. Lee, Taylor Pendrith, Sebastian Munoz, Christian Besaidenhout, Siwoo Kim, and Cameron Davis.
And there you have it. The 2022 International President's Cup team led by Captain Trevor Immelman has been finalized. All six players aged 27 to 31 rounding out the team that will take on Team USA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte in 2 weeks. International team looking for its first win since 1998. Good Tuesday to you, Damon Hack, alongside Eamon Lynch of Golf Week magazine. How about our guy, Trevor? We've both spent some time with him. What a road it has been to this moment for Trevor Immelman.
It's got to feel like a victory just getting to this point today. You know, I shared a drink with Trevor in St. Andrews, and I couldn't even tease him about this process because there was so much going on at that point. And normally a captain's potholes come the week of the matches. Trevor must feel like a relief to get inside the ropes at this stage of the process.
Been a bumpy road for the 2008 Masters champ. Here's a look at Trevor's 12-man team as of today. Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama, by the way, bringing the most experience with 9 and 4 previous starts in the President's Cup, respectively. They're also the only major champions on the squad. They also have the most experience at Quail Hollow. This team, on paper anyway, has the appearance of being a heavy, heavy underdog. And the captain joins us now. Trevor, the road to this moment sure seemed eventful, complicated even. How would you describe this process?
I think that's a pretty good way to describe it there, Damon. It's been a little bit rocky at times. We've had a lot of hurdles thrown in our way. But, you know, this feels great. Finally at a point to where we have 12 players hungry and ready to go up against a strong American team.
Trevor, the situation's obviously been very fluid for several months now. And there's, while you're working through your process, there's this tandem narrative that's been going on that the international team has been decimated by these defections to LIV. How much did it actually impact your process to get to today?
Well, look, it absolutely did affect it because we had players that were on their way to automatically qualifying that then they weren't eligible any longer. We had other players that at the time, when they left the PGA Tour, they were in the top 8 qualifiers, and then they slid to be just outside. So it sure has been an eventful process. Myself, my backroom team has had to be pretty agile and nimble, trying to figure out exactly where we're at all times, trying to gather as much information as we can so that we can, in turn, try to put these 12 players in the best possible spot that they can be when we roll up to Quail Hollow. So I'm glad that it's all behind us. We're excited to be in this point now to where we really can rebuild with 12 players that are hungry and 12 players that wanted to be there. We've already had a trip right after the Tour Championship to Quail Hollow, spent a couple times together as a unit, creating that team camaraderie and chemistry, or shall I say, building on that from the squad system that we've had in the last couple of years. And we feel like we're on a good road right now. We need to trust the process. Obviously, we've got a huge mountain in front of us, an extremely tough American team, maybe the best American team ever fielded that we'll be facing on their home soil. But, that's the kind of thing that excites you as a competitor, is having an opportunity like this to play against the best and see exactly how you stack up.
Well, that mountain, Trevor, grew a little taller with the defection of a player like Cameron Smith, who said in Memphis he planned on playing in this President's Cup. Do you feel like the players were honest with you during this process?
I would say yes. The players were honest with me. maybe not honest with everybody else, but they were honest with me, and I sure do appreciate that. Look, I have a lot of respect for all these different players. I've gotten to know them all really well over the last few years. And the squad environment that we've had with all of our team get-togethers, all of these players were a part of that. And so I'm thankful to them that they were being honest with me and they were keeping me in the loop with exactly where they were at, so that we in turn could try and put this team in a spot to where we still feel like we've got a chance when we roll up to Quail Hollow. But look, it's been a rocky time. We've had some adversity thrown in our way, but still, we're here now. We've got 12 that are ready to fight. We've got 12 that are hungry, and we look forward to that opportunity.
Trevor, I'm curious how your criteria changed along the way through this process, because if one player is suddenly no longer eligible for you, what's the roll-on effect of that as you start to look at other candidates and whether or not they match with the other guys in your team, or does that bring other people into the mix once one other candidate suddenly becomes front of mind for you?
Yeah, so when we had our qualification criteria initially, it was 8 automatic qualifiers. We devised an international points system that I thought was working extremely well. It was doing exactly what we wanted to do, to allow players from all over the world to try and earn points. And then we were going to have 4 picks. But as players that automatically qualified became ineligible, I then got more picks. So ended up in a very similar system to Davis Love, with 6 automatic qualifiers and then 6 picks on the back of that. And, you know, what you're going to try and do at that point is take in all the information from the golf course, from how to find a way to get the team to gel, how's things going to be working in the locker room, what are the best matchups that you can get in foursomes and four ball, and just try and blend it all together. I am extremely thankful to my assistant captains. They've been very supportive, very helpful, along with the rest of our backroom staff to try and get to this point. So we're pumped about this. You know, we're inside of 2 weeks here. We have a great opportunity in front of us, and we're looking forward to finally getting to Quail Hollow and starting to hit some shots out there.
Trevor, I notice all of your picks are between the age of 27 and 31. Why not a little more seasoning? Adam Hadwin, 34, Ryan Fox, 35. How difficult were those phone calls to make?
Extremely difficult. Look, there were a number of players that were right in with a chance. Like I said, we've had this squad of 25 for a couple of years, and so those calls were extremely difficult to make, Damon. Some of the toughest moments that I've really ever had is calling people that are friends, calling people that I respect greatly to let them know that they haven't quite made the team. Got to say, though, because of the atmosphere that we have built around our team, all of those players took it in their stride. They were extremely humble. They were obviously disappointed. But immediately, like immediately, they all said that they'll do whatever they can for the team. They'll be supporting us. And all this does is light another fire inside them to try and make this team in Canada in a couple of years. We, you know, as a team, as a unit, although some people don't think so, when you take a look at social media and the like, we've all gotten extremely close. You know, we've built this bond since Australia, since Royal Melbourne, where we have our shield, where we have a flag to play under, we have team colors. All of this stuff is new for us, and we feel like, you know, we're just on the way up trying to build something. And so we've had great team chemistry and camaraderie over the last couple of years, and so all of these players that didn't quite make it, they're disappointed, but they're excited to see how the team gets on. Conversely, the players that got the call to where they were in the team, they were so pumped. You know, it's been anxious couple of months, really, since the Open, let's say, for a lot of these players, grinding, trying to make their way onto the team, trying to impress the captains to see if they can get a pick or not. Some guys, you could see their play struggled a little over that stretch, and other players stepped up to the plate and really did finish strong, if you look at a player like Taylor Pendrith. So it sure has been an interesting process. I will say that, you know, when I was asked to be captain by the players right after Royal Melbourne in 2019. You know, that was before there was such a thing as a pandemic and before our professional sport was fractured like this. It's turned out to have worked its way in a little differently to what I first envisioned. But nevertheless, I'm proud of everybody that's involved, and we're just counting down the days to get to Quail Hollow.
Trevor, picking up on this idea of camaraderie that's increased on the international team, it's always been a perception that the challenge for the international captain is having a geographically and culturally diverse group of players and try to find where the bonds are, the points of commonality between those people. And you've got four Korean guys on the team, you have a couple of Australians, a couple of Canadians. Do you feel the need to go by this old, play them by their nationality and put them together as a team, or is that concept just not really relevant to you anymore?
It's not really relevant to us anymore. Eamon, that's a great question. It was in the past, and we would have to try and find ways to get over those cultural differences, the language barriers. But as we have become more of one unit and had this squad mentality to where we've brought people in, showed them exactly how we like to do things, how our team operates, what our team stands for, everybody falls in line because the commonality that you spoke of is the shield. The commonality is our team colors. We finally have those kinds of things. The love of the game, the love of having the opportunity to compete against such a tough team, the Americans. You got to remember, when we grew up all over the world, outside of the US and outside of Europe, we would watch the Ryder Cup as young kids and teenagers honing our skills, looking at the Ryder Cup going, man, I want to do something like that. You can see the energy, you can feel the passion of those two teams going up against each other. And until the President's Cup, we never had that opportunity. So us as a team, we're thankful for that opportunity. And I can tell you what, I spent 2 days last week with these 12 players, and they are hungry and they are pumped to have this opportunity to get to Quail Hollow.
Trevor, how important is the veteran leadership of a player like Adam Scott or Hideki Matsuyama in light of the fact that this team is so young and facing that mountain as you described?
Yeah, 8 rookies on the team. We had 7 down in Australia, so we've increased that number. But those two guys, vitally important for us. Adam Scott at 42 years of age. This is going to be his 10th President's Cup. So that sets a record for the international team. It's something that we are extremely proud of and thankful to have him on the team. He really is a stabilizing force for us. That goes without, you know, talking about his golf game. He's been world-class for a couple decades. But he really is a stabilizing force for us. He's somebody that is extremely popular in the locker room. He's clear and calm in his demeanor, so the youngsters can feed off of that. And then Hideki, much the same. You know, he's a humble warrior. He's not rambunctious. He's not arrogant. He just lets his clubs do the talking, but he, without a shadow of a doubt, has a presence and an aura about him that is palpable. You can feel it when you're in the locker room. And so those two players for sure are going to be inside the ropes leaders for us, and we'll be looking to them. We'll be looking to them hard to get out there, to send a message, to bring their A game on the golf course, and then also be leaders in the locker room as well.
Trevor, does it help your team to have this storyline going on that you've been hobbled in some way by the defections? Does it take pressure off your guys and give them some fuel to prove something? And conversely, does it put a little more pressure on the American team, who are already the favourites and are now being told, well, how could you possibly lose?
Well, look, I don't know if it affects the Americans. They're so good that we'll have to see how they react to it. I think they're kind of getting used to being the favourites. They sure were the favourites going into Whistling Straits, and they dominated the European team. But for us, look, we were going to be underdogs regardless. We've had a pretty rough record in this tournament. But like I say, we felt like 2019 was turning the page and building fresh. And we had a great shot going into the Sunday in Australia, couldn't quite get it done. And we're trying to launch off of that from things that we learned there. But yeah, Eamon, we're absolutely the underdogs. You know, we're going to be representing underdogs all over the world that week, whether it be, you know, in sports, in business, if it's kids in school that are underdogs out there, you know, we're that team. We're going to be out there fighting really hard to prove that we belong.
Trevor, I've been struck how transparent you've been through this process, especially on social media, answering questions of complete strangers. You know, is so-and-so going to stay? And you writing back, oh, the book that I could write. Why have you been so transparent and open about this process on social media?
Well, in a lot of ways, I think it's dangerous to lie, Damon, because then you've got to have a great memory to try and remember all the little stories you've told. So it's just me being me. I like to be open and I like to be honest. I appreciate it when there's fans out there that reach out and want to ask a serious question. Look, there's a lot of junk out there that you have to ignore, and at times it's difficult to do that too. But the people that I believe are sincere and that there's no malice involved, I try and give them a straight answer. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to build a fan base. We're trying to help people understand what this team stands for, who the players are that represent us. So what kind of leader would I be if I was just out there not communicating to people that actually are interested in our team? So it's just me being authentic, being open and honest, letting everybody know exactly where I stand. And I'll continue to do that, whether it be through this captaincy with the international team over the next few weeks, or in my broadcasting future over what hopefully will be the next couple decades.
Trevor, the job you initially signed up to here turned out to be not quite as conventional as the job you probably thought you were going to get. Regardless of what happens at Quail Hollow in a couple of weeks, would you like to do it again without all of this extraneous noise around you?
No, I don't think so, Eamon. You know, we decided down in Australia that we were going to change the format of the way we do things on our team in a number of different areas, and captaincy was one of them. We felt like at times it got a little bit stale when captains hung around too long. And so what we wanted to do was put a particular person, try and be smart with who we choose for what venue and in what city, put that position, that person in that position, put them in place and just let them go. Let them go hard for 2 years, dedicate their lives to it like my wife and I have over the last couple of years, give it their best, and then move on and let somebody else have a shot at it. So that's the way we look at it regarding the international team right now.
Well, another big step taken with these captain's picks today. Trevor, thanks for hopping on. We'll see you in a couple of weeks in Charlotte, my friend.
Always great to hang with you guys. Have a good one.
Tomorrow, it'll be Captain Davis Love III's turn to make his 6 picks for the U.S. President's Cup team. We'll have complete coverage of his choices tomorrow, right here on Golf Today. And still to come, let the applause and second guessing begin. It's time to dissect Trevor Immelman's 6 picks. We'll talk about what we like and what we're concerned about right after the break.
Back on Golf Today, Sunday, Korn Ferry Tour Championship, 25 more PGA Tour cards handed out. Conclusion of the finals. So many good stories come out of the finals, all the emotions. Brent Grant, this was my probably favorite moment, just flexing the biceps. There's Justin Suh, a hug and handshake. Great players who turned pro back in 2019. So here are the 25 guys. Some names you know. David Lingworth, 2015 Memorial champ. He was on our show last week, talked about the injuries he's had to overcome. Joseph Bramlett, Stanford alum, going back to the PGA Tour. Ryan Armour, number 13. He's the 6th oldest to go through this gauntlet back to the PGA Tour at the age of 46. In the final page, you see Kyle Westmoreland, Mr. 25, on his way to the PGA Tour.
And here's the impressive biography of Kyle Westmoreland. He earned the final spot there at 25th. As you see, he's the first Air Force Academy graduate to earn a PGA Tour card. And he served 5.5 years of active duty in the United States Air Force and earned the rank of captain working in financial management position. Kyle, we're pleased to be joined by you now. Congratulations on making the top 25. I'm curious if that background in crunching financial numbers was of any use to you on Sunday afternoon after you'd finished and you're trying to crunch the numbers to see whether or not you're going to get that last card.
Oh, it was not. You know, it was an awesome time. I can say I wouldn't recommend anyone to finish in the 25th position. You know, if you can help it, you need to I mean, you need to skip that bubble position because it was a lot of nerves, a lot of anxiety going for those last couple hours there.
What did you do while you're waiting? And are you watching golf? Are you having a couple sandwiches? How did you spend the time?
We did our best to not look at the phones and not, you know, not check it. But as guys are coming in, you can hear roars. You can see, you know, beers being poured on guys' heads or drinks. And I mean, it was awesome to see these guys, you know, everyone go through, earn their tour card. But we had a lot of anxiety. You know, we walked around, we ate some food. It was hard for me to stay still. So they were laughing at me, but it was a nerve wracking couple hours, and just thankful to come out on this side of it.
It's been a long journey to get to this point for you, Kyle, and now 48 hours down the road from all of that anxiety on Sunday. What does it feel like when you sit back and realize that you finally got that PGA Tour card in your hand?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, we're thankful to be here, thankful to, you know, be able to be in this position to be, you know, competing at the highest level. We always say that golf's not who we are, but it is what we do. And our goal for so long has been to, you know, do it at the highest level. And it seems like a goal that's been on, you know, in our minds for about 10 years now. And finally getting to the PGA Tour is a treat. It's an honor.
You know, Kyle, there have been some notable athletes who served in our country's military and went on to great professional careers. I grew up watching David Robinson, Navy midshipman, who went on to a great career, Hall of Fame career with the San Antonio Spurs. After your commitment in the Air Force, you know, achieving the rank of captain, how has that experience helped you in golf in any way?
Oh, I think the military, you know, prepares you for so many things, including professional sports. You know, I'm thankful for the perspective I've earned or gotten, and for the people I've met. You know, what makes the military so special are the people that you meet, no matter where you are, good or bad. You know, people make the experience, and with that perspective, you learn who you are and what's important to you, and you apply it to wherever you're going, whether that's golf, whether that's, you know, sporting world, or whether it's, you know, business outside. I'm just thankful for my perspective I've earned or gotten, I guess, received through the military.
Speaking of knowing who you are and sticking with it, Kyle, it's very easy for guys to get on tour and start changing what got them there. Do you find it's difficult to draw a line now between knowing what got you to the tour or trying to figure out what you need to improve once you get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think throughout this year that, you know, playing the Korn Ferry Tour, Ultimate Proving Ground, we've gotten the opportunity to learn, you know, kind of see others around you, see people excel, kind of figure out what you do well, what you need to improve on. I think, you know, everyone that gets to the PGA Tour is very good. So areas we need to improve on, I think, are, you know, are pretty substantial. We could improve on driving accuracy. We're probably never going to lead that category, but we'll try to hit it far at least. So try to improve on driving accuracy, making a game plan with our coaches to continue to get better. You know, I think we've gotten to this level, but our goal is to win at this level. So I think we need to get better in a few areas and continue to push where we have been. And if we can get a little bit better each day, get a little closer to that goal, you know, maybe it'll eventually come to fruition.
Kyle, I heard there was a pretty robust text chain going on from people you know at Air Force. How much did you feel that support? Were you aware that this text chain was going on as you were trying to finish out this dream of achieving a spot on the PGA Tour?
Oh, I had my phone off, so at least airplane mode. So I wasn't seeing any of it. But the last couple of days have been awesome. You know, we went through about, I think it was like close to 500 text messages. 200 of them were from Air Force guys in this group, in this chain. And so, you know, it's just awesome to see people who are doing so much for our country, whether it's flying fighters or serving in different facets of the military from all over the world, from, you know, Africa, from the Middle East, from Asia, from Europe, you know, staying up to see us, you know, finish and get our tour card is pretty awesome. And I'm just fortunate to have those friends and be able to call them, you know, my brothers and sisters.
Kyle, a couple of weeks ago, Jay Monahan announced that the graduates from the Korn Ferry Tour onto the PGA Tour will start with a minimum guarantee of $500,000 next year, which is designed to offset the costs of actually competing on the PGA Tour and the logistics of travel. What kind of a difference is that going to make as you embark on this PGA Tour career?
You know, it's a huge difference. It's a huge thing for myself, for the families that are new members of the tour, right? It puts you in a different position. You're comfortable. trying to go out and you know, get that card. I think there's a firm difference between being comfortable and being content, though. You know, it does go towards your winnings, but I think it's just an awesome program for, you know, the PGA Tour to put in for its rookies and its new members. It's a huge deal for us, so we really appreciate it.
Kyle, as someone who served in the Air Force, I imagine you've seen a lot of this country. What event are you most excited to compete in 2022-23?
Oh, man. I'm excited to compete in all of them. You know, every time we tee it up is a great opportunity to show what we have and test our mettle. You know, it's awesome to go out and play. I grew up in the Texas area. So Colonial is, you know, the Fort Worth area is what I went to, and I have some work to get there. So, you know, we're going to try to do that. Houston, where I'm at, you know, with finishing 50th in this category or between the two Korn Ferry categories, I have some work to do. So right now, my favorite tournament is going to be Napa, and we're going to try to, you know, tear it up as best we can. And then whichever one comes after that will be my next favorite. So every week.
Good grapes in Napa. At least that's what I've been told. Kyle, listen, congratulations. Thank you for your service. We'll be watching you during this upcoming PGA Tour season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Go Air Force, beat Army, sink Navy.
There you go. It's football season as well. Still to come on Golf Today. Ryder Cup qualification begins this week at the BMW PGA Championship. Our Rex Hoggard catches up with the captain of Team Europe, Luke Donald, to get his thoughts on what's to come with a new team event coming early next year. Stay tuned. Take a look at what's happening this week as the Rolex Series returns. The DP World Tour Championship heads to Surrey, England for the BMW PGA Championship. A year ago, Billy Horschel's time getting it done at the BMW PGA Championship. Final round 65 to win by one shot over three players. It marked Billy Ho's second DP World Tour win of his career. Fantastic field, including the defending champ Billy Horschel, U.S. Open champ Matt Fitzpatrick, Rory McIlroy, winner of three FedEx Cups, former world number one John Rahm in the field as well. Now, we've noted that 18 LIV Golf players will also be playing this week, and sure, the tension and awkwardness might be there. There are also European Ryder Cup points up for grabs for players trying to make Luke Donald's team for 2023. And earlier today, our Rex Hoggard caught up with the European captain.
Joined by the Ryder Cup captain for next year's European team, Luke Donald. This is a big week for you, Wentworth. This is where it all starts. Has it become real at this point for you?
Well, it's fun to finally get the points going. Obviously, this is a great event personally for me. I've won a couple of times around here and brings back great memories. But excited to get the journey, I guess, starts now. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the guys play over the next 12 months or so. So bring on Rome.
You talked about how special this event is, not just to you, but to this tour. But there is a subtext this week with LIV Golf. As the captain, how do you think that's going to impact your team next year?
Again, it's very hard to tell. I mean, there's obviously a legal situation going on. We'll probably have a little bit better idea come February how that works. And, you know, to kind of take it from there, I'm not really trying to pay too much attention to it right now because I don't have any control over it.
As a member of the tour, will you welcome those players back this week, or do you think there might be some animosity?
It's hard to speak for the players. You know, obviously, it's their right to be here. They won that legal case, and they're fulfilling that right. Obviously, I know some of those guys, and you know, I've seen them, and there's no animosity between me personally. But they have every right to be here.
The future of the Ryder Cup is clearly front of mind for Captain Luke Donald and the DP World Tour. Earlier today, they announced the creation of the Hero Cup, a new match play event aimed at giving European players experience in the team and match play format. Here's how the Hero Cup will work. It will start in January of 2023 at Abu Dhabi Golf Club, a former venue on the DP World Tour. Two 10-man teams selected by Luke Donald, players from Great Britain and Ireland, will face players from continental Europe in one session of four balls, foursomes and singles each. Teams will be confirmed following the conclusion of this year's DP World Tour Championship.
On this new event, Luke Donald said, quote, "One of the first things I was keen to do when I was appointed as Ryder Cup captain was to reinstate a team match play contest to give playing and leadership experience to future Ryder Cup players, vice captains, and captains," end quote. You know, I remember hearing Paul McGinley talk about how valuable his experience was as the captain in the Seve Trophy before his captaincy for the European Ryder Cup in 2014. How much is this kind of back to the future as you see it?
I think it's pretty significant. The Seve Trophy pitted GB and Ireland against continental Europe from 2000 until 2013. And it was essentially used as an incubator of leadership, both in the team and in the team room of captains for so many years. And some of the best European Ryder Cup captains served as captains on those teams. You know, Thomas Bjorn was there, Paul McGinley was there, Sam Torrance was there, Colin Montgomery, Jose Maria Olazabal. You know, they all got this experience.
A lot of wins in the Seve Trophy. List you just named as well.
And it overlapped perfectly with the era of European dominance in the Ryder Cup. And something was lost then. And now that Europe's in this position because of the live defections, where they've not just lost a future generation of captains or presumed captains in the likes of Westwood and Poulter and Graham McDowell and guys like that, they're also caught between generations of players. And that was very clear at Whistling Straits, where they're aging out of the old guns who've been there for a long time, who are unlikely to make future Ryder Cup teams. And the next generation, they're still trying to figure out where it comes from. Who is it? Is it, you know, the Højgaard twins or someone like that from Denmark, who seem to have this weight thrown on them now of expectation, and they're only 20 years old. But this is, I think, an incubator for the Europeans to try to figure out who is going to lead the teams and, more crucially, who's going to make the teams and at least get them with some form of experience in the match play format.
We know that the Ryder Cup means a lot to Luke Donald. I'm fascinated that this is under his watch also. He was not the first choice to be the European Ryder Cup captain. It was Henrik Stenson. So here he is, kind of early in the process, I would say, putting his stamp on the European Ryder Cup fortunes going forward. How much do you see that as a very important part of this process, kind of turning the page on the turbulence of the summer, with Luke Donald saying, here, I care about this much, that we're going to put this in place to ensure some continuity over the next 10, 15, 20 years?
He's using every tool he has at his disposal, and he's asked for some more. It was a controversial decision Padraig Harrington made at the last Ryder Cup, where he went from having four captain's picks to three.
Right.
And he always argued that being a captain's pick put more pressure on the player to perform. I would argue that it puts more pressure on the captain to make the correct pick. And Luke Donald seems up for that pressure, because he's now increased from three captain's picks to six next time around, which I think also allows for the defections, the kind of division that's in the world of golf in terms of where people are playing. But having only six spots to automatically qualify, and some changes that they've announced in the last couple of weeks to the points system for the Ryder Cup qualification, it's, even though there are points available this week at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, it makes it an extraordinarily uphill task for any LIV players to actually qualify on merit. And their odds of getting a pick obviously would be determined by what the dynamic is in relationships, you know, a year from now. But the odds seem to be stacked against them in that respect, too.
Well, we've talked a lot this 2 hours about how the LIV defections shadowed the early presidency, the late presidency of Trevor Immelman, and how he had to kind of work around rumor, innuendo, answering questions to us or folks on social media. Less of an issue. I know you talked about how it's going to be a harder road, but do you think that the turbulence will follow a Zach Johnson or follow a Luke Donald into 2023?
I don't believe it's going to be that big an issue for them. Zach Johnson really didn't lose players who were at the top of their game. Obviously, DJ, his potential loss. Bryson and Brooks have physical issues. Wasn't sure, they weren't playing particularly well. What their likelihood was of playing that Ryder Cup, maybe somewhat up in the air. I think it's similar for Luke Donald, in the sense that what they lost was primarily aging out future captains. I don't think they've really been particularly affected in terms of players that they've lost. The problem is that it wasn't quite clear who those players were going to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, they still have the guys like John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, who are going to be the columns that they build this team around for years to come. But where that next tier of players is still something of a mystery for Luke Donald. So he's going to have issues and he's going to have enormous potholes to navigate around over the course of the next year before they get to the Marco Simone course in Rome. But those issues are going to be less live impacted than certainly anything Trevor Immelman's had to deal with.
Yeah, G-Mac, Westwood, Keimer, they haven't brought much to the table from a playing standpoint in the last couple of years. Probably more of an institutional knowledge loss potentially for the European team next year.
Yeah, at this point, the focus is entirely on the players and not on the guys who are going to be in the back room. And Trevor Immelman's focus today was obviously on the players as well. And when Golf Today returns, we're going to be joined by one of Trevor's picks. The just-announced Taylor Pendrith will be making his President's Cup debut. In a few weeks, he'll be here. Stay with us. Welcome back to Golf Today. These are the 12 men who face one of the toughest tasks in all of golf, which is upending the United States team in the President's Cup. It hasn't happened since 1998. The six automatic qualifiers and the six captain's picks announced this morning by the international captain, Trevor Immelman. And Damon, there's a lot of interesting potential partnerships we see, both in terms of nationality, in terms of games that match up pretty well, in terms of friendships, experience on that list. I'm curious who you look at that board and see as the most intriguing potential partnership that Trevor Immelman could rely on in a couple of weeks at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, he needs some horses. And I think I found two for him, which would be a very intriguing and positive pair. And that's Sung J.M. and Tom Kim together. They're playing great golf of late. Tom Kim won the Wyndham. Who was there to congratulate him? T2, Sung J.M. These are two players who make a ton of birdies. Sungjae 17th in total birdies this season. Tom Kim doesn't have enough events to qualify from a stats standpoint. Three top 10s in 11 starts. Has shot 61 this year. Has shot 63 this season. 64 this season. Two rounds of 66 this season. What Trevor Immelman needs, yes, good partnerships. He's going to need a ton of birdies. Eamon, Sungjae Im, and Tom Kim will provide that for the international team. They'll be a tough out, I believe, in a couple weeks' time.
Well, they've certainly got two form horses right there, and I'm impressed that you're determined to ride the Tom Kim pony again having dismounted him last week. Now you're back on again.
Yes.
I assume you'd be betting on him as well.
Perhaps. How about you? Do you see a better, perhaps, than my two? Because I'm feeling very good about mine.
I know when we talked to Trevor earlier, he said that he had dispensed with this notion of kind of nationalities being a determining factor in who he puts together, which makes perfect sense. But there are two who do make good sense together. It's the two Canadians in this team, Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith. I mean, they've been close friends for a long time. They've essentially lived together at various points in their life. But they've also got a successful team record together as well. They competed in the Eisenhower Trophy as amateurs together back in 2014, lost out to the American team, but won the silver medal in that competition. And if you're looking at... It's the same dynamic as Sungjae Im and Tom Kim. You're looking at two talented guys, one of whom has been there before.
Right.
And the other one who's a rookie. And you'd hope that they'd want to get a little bit settled down by whomever they're playing with. And, you know, they kind of match up pretty well. You know, Taylor Pendrith's pretty long. Corey Connors is pretty straight. Both of them hit a lot of greens in regulation. They're both... Corey Connors is second on tour last year in greens in regulation. And Taylor Pendrith's in the top 10 in that. Those are competition statistics that matter out there. They're both a little question mark around them in terms of their statistical performance on the greens, but everything else seems to suggest they could be a pretty solid and pretty formidable partnership.
They're two players who don't make a lot of mistakes. They play very much, in my mind, station to station, though Pendrith is a lot longer off the tee than Corey Connors. But, man, I thought that Taylor really acquitted himself well. Going head-to-head with Tony Finau. I almost think that Trevor Immelman is going to need, I'm not going to say near perfection, but pretty close. This is a road game with a team that's been decimated by live defection, and not just by anybody, but by players who are as hot as anybody on the planet. We're talking about the Players' Champion, the Open Champion, the Century Tournament Championship winner in Cameron Smith. We're talking about Joaquin Niemann of Chile, who played so well throughout this summer, not to mention winning at Riviera. I just think that it's going to be an uphill climb for this international team. But, you know, if you believe in sports and fate and energy and momentum, my goodness, last time it was the Shield in the black and yellow. now you've got a real kind of tangible rallying cry for this team because not a lot of people believe they can get it done.
Yeah, and as the late, great Texas writer Molly Ivan said, you got to dance with them what brung you, Damon.
That's right.
And that's what Trevor Immelman's got to work with here. And to me, the key member of his squad is going to be Adam Scott. He's kind of beloved by everyone, amiable character, great deal of experience in this event, in this format. And he's the kind of guy you could put with a lot of different players there. Because as Trevor mentioned, there are occasionally language barriers. There are equipment barriers where one guy's not comfortable with another guy's golf ball, that kind of thing. But in terms of personalities and even-keeled characters who would offer some guidance on a team with eight rookies, that's a lot of nerves on the first tee. Mm. And the idea of trying to settle those guys down, there are some guys you can rely upon. Hideki can do it by reputation alone.
Right.
But in terms of the personal interaction, the conversational nature, the language barriers of forming a bond with the guy that you're walking down the fairway with whose hands are shaking, then a guy like Adam Scott, to me, becomes a key component of that kind of strategy of settling down the guys who maybe didn't necessarily expect to be here and suddenly are facing the reality of taking on maybe the greatest United States team ever assembled.
No doubt, Trevor calling Adam Scott a steadying force for this team. Let's take a closer look at the six captain's picks for Trevor Immelman. He made them earlier today. You see the names, a lot of youth. These players from age 27 to 31. Cam Davis from Australia. You see Sebastian Munoz from Colombia. And there you see in the bottom right, Taylor Pendrith from Canada. And I tell you what, you go back to the Eisenhower and the partnership with Corey Connors, 16 cuts made in 21 starts, three top 10 finishes, including that great battle, that runner-up finish, T2 career best at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And earlier today, Trevor Immelman talked about Taylor Pendrith.
A player that we think is in great form right now, and his game matches up extremely well with what we know about Quail Hollow, where we have in this President's Cup. He's one of the longest hitters on tour, top 10 in driving distance this season. And so we think we can use that to our advantage.
And we're pleased to be joined by Taylor Pendrith. He can absolutely move it. Taylor, what was the phone call like with Trevor when all of this finally became official?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, I just got back from the BMW Championship, and Trevor texted me Sunday night just saying, nice playing. You know, great season, way to come back from injury. And that was actually kind of when I thought that maybe I did have a chance to make the team, but it's kind of sunk in over the last couple of weeks. And it's a true honor to play for the international team, and really looking forward to it.
Taylor, you've played in your last seven events. You've had six top 15 finishes. So you're clearly informed. Do you feel as though your game is ready for the challenge that lies ahead at Quail Hollow?
Yeah, you know, I think I've learned a lot my rookie season. You know, obviously a lot of things have happened. Was playing some really good golf and then was injured and had to take 4 months off. And, you know, just the way I feel like I battled back after injury and was able to, you know, put myself in a good position to, you know, contend for some tournaments and had some nice finishes in the last 2 months. So it's kind of probably not something I expected to be doing my rookie season. And like I said, a lot of things have been going great the last year and a half, but I'm really excited to, you know, test my skills. Obviously, the U.S. team is super strong, and we've got a, you know, tough task ahead of us, but I'm really excited to be a part of the team and hopefully play well for the team.
Now, you're not wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers outfit, though the colors are very, very similar. When did you get the hat and the sweatshirt, you know, and tell us about what that seal, that shield, what it means to you?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's great. I think they've done a really good job of making it feel like you're playing under, you know, the shield. I got this. We were in Charlotte last week for a few days to kind of meet the team and play the course and get familiar with potential partners. And it was really great to meet Trevor. I've actually never met him before and get to know him and all the other captains and the team. And it was really good. But to wear this is an honor. You know, I've grown up watching the President's Cup and cheering for the international team. And, you know, obviously they're usually underdogs. And so it's always good to root for them. But to now be a part of it is amazing and really looking forward to representing.
Trevor said earlier he wasn't necessarily going to hang his hat on this idea of pairing people of similar nationalities together, although you do obviously have a good track record playing with Corey Connors. Is that a partnership you would welcome at Quail Hollow, or are there other guys on the team, Taylor, who you think you could match up pretty well with?
Yeah, you know what? Me and Corey are very good friends, known for a long time, and you know, we're roommates in school for 4 years, so I've played a ton of golf with him over the years, and you know, I think our games could do very well together at that golf course, but you know, it's at the end of the day, it's whatever the captain wants, whatever's best for the team. If it happens to be me and Corey playing together, that'd be awesome. If not, it's all good. And, you know, there's, you know, all 12 of us are, you know, bring something to the table, and I'm happy to play with whoever, but to play with Corey would be really cool.
Taylor, when you hit as many greens as you do, the putting stats might not look as pretty as some on paper. How would you describe your relationship with your putter going into Quail Hollow a couple weeks from now?
Yeah, I think in years past, my putting's improved a lot. I would say it used to be probably the weakest part of my game, and now I feel like it is growing into a strength. Worked a lot on it over the past couple years, and but yeah, like I've been hitting it great this year, and you know, giving myself lots of opportunities, and so the stats may not look super impressive, but I feel really good with the putter, and like I said, I've been working on it over the past couple of years, and it can be a strength for me at times, and so yeah, I've just been really working hard to keep it consistent and keep the stroke consistent, and you know, obviously in the President's Cup, putting's huge, so I'm really going to grind it out for the next couple of weeks and hopefully show up ready to go.
Taylor, with all the fracturing that's going on in the world of professional golf these days, this narrative has built up that the international team has been decimated by these defections and that suddenly you've got no chance at all. Does that fuel the international team, and do you think it actually relieves some of the pressure or expectation from you?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I think for me, I have a great opportunity to, you know, showcase my game. I've had a long journey to the PGA Tour, and this is my rookie year, and so to be a part of this team is amazing. It's an honor. But yeah, I mean, on paper, we're probably severe underdogs, and everybody's saying that we're underdogs, but everybody loves a good story, and we're going to battle hard. All 12 guys are, you know, champions and phenomenal golfers, and I think the golf course sets up well for a lot of us and for all of us, and so it's going to be a challenge, but, you know, like I said, nobody's, I guess, expecting us to win on paper, but we're going to battle hard and see what happens. The U.S. team is, you know, obviously phenomenal and maybe one of the best teams ever. So we've got our work cut out for us, but we're going to show up ready to go.
One of the great moments in President's Cup history, 2007, Mike Weir defeats Tiger Woods in singles. Royal Montreal fairly shook. Now Mike Weir is a vice captain. What will it be like for you as a Canadian to share the team room with the 2003 Masters champion?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. You know, Mike's a guy I've looked up to ever since I've, you know, become serious in the game of golf when I was 13 years old. And, you know, that moment at Royal Montreal was amazing. And that was Royal Montreal was the first time actually I played the Canadian Open. So to kind of walk on that course, I was still an amateur, and knowing Mike beat Tiger Woods, it was a huge moment for golf in Canada, and obviously a huge moment in the President's Cup history. And so to have him there and to ask him questions, pick his brain, and for him to be there to support me and Corey through this is going to be awesome.
Taylor, the outfit suits you. Congratulations. We'll see you in a couple weeks in Charlotte.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.